Hello, this is Sam Speaker, and I'm in for Steve Barish, who is doing this Steve Barish Healing Hour. So you're listening to Steve Barish Healing Hour, but he's not here right now, and I'm doing this session, and I will be speaking about vaccines. This is my passion, and one of my passions, I should say. And what I would like to start is by sharing with you how I got started with this. And then if you would like to call in with any questions at any time, feel free to do so. And the numbers that you can call would be 1-888-815-9756. And that's a toll-free number, and you're welcome to call in at that time, or any time, I should say. I started with this vaccine issue after my daughter Alexis had passed away. And you probably heard the story I was on once before. And I didn't understand how she could have ended up with Hodgkin's disease, which is a form of cancer. And a year after her death, I came across this vaccine conference, and I went to listen, and I was amazed at what I was hearing, partly because I didn't think vaccines were dangerous as a parent. And once I realized that there were some side effects to it, I started reading books. And Dr. Scheidner's book, 100 Years of Research in Immunizations, was the one that clued me in as to the side effects of vaccines. And when I picked up Alexis's record, I realized that she was allergic to vaccines. And within a year after her MMR, she developed Hodgkin's disease. And also Dr. Mendelsohn, in his book, How to Raise a Healthy Child, talks about that MMR could bring about Hodgkin's disease. So with that, I started informing parents of the side effects of vaccines, and I ended up creating, well, along with some friends that helped out, a website called knowvaccines.com, knowvaccines.com. And you can find a lot of information on the vaccines on their website. So that was my journey of learning about vaccines. And in all honesty, I was really appalled that I didn't know that there were any side effects to it. And now I realize that parents are, before, for my own children, I never had to sign any consent allowing them to vaccinate our children. And because there were so many injuries, parents now have to sign off on any kind of problem. If something happens to their child after the vaccine, they can't really sue the government for it. So it is quite interesting to see that vaccines can do a lot of damage, and yet there's so much pressure to vaccinate our children. And the kind of, more or less, how we have to go about trying to protect our rights or protect our children is quite amazing. In New York State, the only thing that we could use is religious exemption, and we're hoping to get philosophical exemption, which is really what this is all about, is that we have a right to know the information, and if there are possibilities of death involved in the vaccines, which there are, then a parent should have a right to say no. And so if anyone wants to ask any questions to help me along here, I welcome any of it, or I'll continue talking. I'd like to quote some of the wonderful people that I have encountered through the books, and then I also met quite a few research scientists and doctors that talked about vaccines. Just a few years back, I would say 7 years back, I went to a conference on vaccine, and there must have been, I would say, about 30 or 40 doctors there. And many from all over the world were there talking about vaccines. And at that time, Andrew Wakefield, spoke about the side effects of vaccines and how he related the MMR to autism. And the information that he had, that he shared with us, along with three other doctors that did independent study, and they have linked the MMR to vaccines, autism to vaccine, especially and particularly to MMR. So now, after he discovered that, he spoke to his wife and said, you know, if I bring this out, my career is over. And basically that's what happened. They tried to get his license away just about a year ago in England because he spoke the truth. And for me, there is no higher religion than speaking the truth. And so Mr. Wakefield or Dr. Wakefield really did what he needed to do to support this cause of having a choice. And this is what I'm all about. I really am not against vaccines. I will never say that because if someone believes in them, I think they should have them. But at the same time, I do feel that people that don't want them should not have them. An interesting thing that happened, there was an Institute of Medicine in Washington, D.C. In 2004. They met to find out if there was any correlation between autism and MMR, and in particular with mercury. And there were 15 doctors or 15 speakers, and quite a few of them were doctors. And what it turned out was that 9 out of the 15 said there is a link to autism, and none of those 9 had conflict of interest. Then 4 felt that there was no link to autism, and these 4 they did have a conflict of interest. They worked either for a pharmaceutical department or they were part of a medical establishment that promoted vaccines, and 2 were not committed either way to it. And you can find all this on my website and the doctors that were involved and who was at their conference. Now, when I turned on the TV to watch the news, they only had one person, a spokesperson, that talked about the vaccines, and they said at that, right after the conference, that there is no link between autism and mercury. Now, even though 9 out of the 15 doctors at that conference felt that there was a link, they only interviewed the one person that felt that there wasn't. So the parents were not getting the right information at that point. So it was fascinating to me to watch how the media did not have both sides of the issue or both opinions represented. So this is what I have noticed all along, that whenever we have, my husband and I put on a conference and we invited all the pediatricians in Rochester to come and listen to the doctors that spoke about vaccines, and none of the pediatricians in Rochester showed up. So where was the interest? And these were qualified doctors that were here. I mean, one graduated from Harvard, the other one was from New York Medical School. So it wasn't as if, and they had quite a few years' experience behind them. And again, no one showed up. So this is the conflict that we see all the time, that the doctors are now willing to debate this with another doctor, which is very important for parents to be able to get all the information and then make a decision for themselves. So this is the situation here in the United States anyway. I don't know how it is in any other country, but I know in the United States we do have a difficult time trying to get exemption, and especially in New York. One of my favorite quotes that I have on my website is by Gandhi, and it says, "Any action that is dictated by fear or by coercion of any kind ceases to be moral." And this is how I feel about the vaccine. They keep pushing it. Now, if something is really good, most people don't need to be forced to do that. They would automatically go to it. And yet that's not the case with the vaccines. There's tremendous amount of push towards them. And for me, from doing all the research, I realized that it creates a lot of diseases. So what happens is by vaccinating our children, we have tremendous amount. Well, cancer is the leading cause of death among our young children. The leading cause of disease deaths. I mean, accident is number one, but as far as disease is concerned, that's the leading cause of death for our children. In an industrial country, that to be the case, and no one is alarmed about it, no one cares about it, no one does any research, no one talks about it. So this is the situation that we have here in America. The other quote that I love, and it's from Ron Paul, and he's running for president right now, as you know. He said, freedom over one physical person is the most basic freedom of all. Freedom over one physical person is the most basic freedom of all. And people in a free society should be sovereign over their own bodies. So this is a man that's running for president that feels that we have a right to make a decision for our own body, whether it's healing or whether it's vaccinating our children. Alexis was really responsible for this website, along with a lot of things that she has taught me. One of the main things was to be compassionate about different opinions. So if someone chooses to vaccinate or not vaccinate, that became very important. In the beginning, I was so against vaccines, mainly because I saw the damage that it did to my own child. It seemed like I wanted to abolish everything that had to do with the medical system. I was really angry. And over the years, I feel a lot different towards that. I feel tremendous compassion for the doctors out there because I can't imagine going through medical school believing something and then all of a sudden, just like Dr. Mendelsohn realized as he was observing his patients as a pediatrician that the vaccines were causing more harm than the good that they were supposed to create. So it takes a courageous doctor to be able to look at the data and to be able to observe his patients closely to see some of the allopathic medicine might not be working, might not be doing exactly what they said it would do. So there is tremendous compassion when you think of how much money they spent, the time that they spent, and to throw it all away, not that you have to, but to look at it and say, gee, maybe there isn't exactly, maybe this isn't exactly what they're saying. So it takes tremendous amount of courage to be able to turn it around and to be really a true healer, a true physician, caring about the patient more than being worried about what would happen to your license. And this is what a lot of doctors have to face. If they do speak, just like Dr. Wakefield, when he spoke his truth, they took his license away or tried to. I'm not sure whether they have or not, but they're in the process of trying to get that. And I know of another doctor where she spoke about her opinion as far as the vaccines were concerned, and they did take her license away. So it does take a lot of courage, as I said, because I don't know if I, I don't know. The question, you know, the statement is, I don't know. Yes?
Yeah, I'm calling because I've been having chest pains. I was recommended to call this show.
Uh-huh. Do you have a question?
Well, do I have any health concerns that I should be worried about?
Now, about what, taking vaccines or?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, what is it that you're asking the question?
If I have any health issues that I should be worried about because I've been having chest pains.
You have been having what?
Chest pains. And I was recommended by someone that listens to your show all the time, and I was going to talk to Steve because he knew who I was and had something to tell me. This is for healing, right?
You're calling, yeah, Steve Barish usually does the healing session at this time.
Okay, this isn't the healing session?
It is, well, it is, and he's not here right now. He's at a conference, and he asked me to speak about the vaccine issue.
I don't know if he's not there. I'll call back next week.
Okay, that sounds great. Sorry. Yes. Steve Barish is not, let me just mention that Steve Barish is not here this week. He will be here next Saturday. And he will be working with you. If you have any questions for him, he will be back next Saturday. He's away right now, and he asked me if I would speak on the issue of vaccines. So if you have any questions about vaccines or immunizations or the flu shots, I would recommend going on my website, KNOW, vaccines, vaccines.com, and get some information there. There's wonderful links that you can get on. And my website is more or less like a door that opens up to the idea of vaccines. It's very simple. It's very easy to go through. And the links that I have are much more powerful. They really are put together by people that have done tremendous amount of work on this issue of vaccines. So I would recommend that you would go on to the links. Mine is very plain and right to the point, and then if you want something more in depth, you could read some of the books that I've recommended and also go on the links that you will find on the website. So I will continue speaking on some of the, let me just share some of the quotes. I also have, well, one of the quotes that I have here is, no batch of vaccines can be proven safe before it is given to children. And that's mentioned in 1955, that was brought up, and it was by the Surgeon General of the United States, Leonard Scheel, S-C-H-E-E-L-E. And he said, no batch of vaccines can be proven safe before it is given to children. And here we are promoting and pushing the issue of vaccines. Dr. Gordon Stewart wrote, beyond doubt, a highly significant non-random clustering of an excess of undiagnosed sudden infant death syndrome following vaccines. So there were a tremendous amount of children that died of SIDS following vaccines. So that's another area to look at. Diabetes is on the rise, and many of the physicians that are doing research on vaccines are concerned that it's because of the vaccines. On the website, I also have congressional hearings that I mentioned, and I quoted some of the congressional hearings and some of the things that were stated at that time. So, again, feel free to go into the website and see some of the things that I've put together. The other thing that I would recommend is if you choose to vaccinate, these are some of the questions that you can ask your physician. What are the ingredients of the vaccine? What are the side effects of these chemicals individually and in combination? What are the long-term studies that are done on vaccines, and where you could find the information for yourself so you can do your own research? Do you vaccinate? Ask them whether they vaccinate children if they are sick or recovering from an illness. They're not supposed to. If in my family there has been vaccine reactions such as convulsions, neurological disorder, or cancer, is my child susceptible to these disorders as well? These are some of the questions that you could be asking a physician. And if there is a reaction, you could also make sure you get the batch number of the vaccine if you choose to vaccinate, and you can check to see if there's any adverse reaction through VAERS. It's called Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. And the number for that is 1-800-822-7967. So you can take the batch number and see if there has been any reaction to that particular vaccine that your child received. What else can I share with you other than I would recommend strongly, strongly for you to be able to do as much research before you choose to vaccinate your child. This is one of the most important decisions that you make. And also, I can understand how difficult it is for parents because they have been told that the vaccines are safe. Some of the books that I would recommend strongly, and again, you can buy them anywhere. One of them is Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? By Neil Z. Miller. Wonderful, wonderful book. Another one is The Vaccination Dilemma by Christine Murphy. And, of course, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor is by Dr. Mendelsohn, a pediatrician, a very well-known pediatrician in the United States. And my favorite book is Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth by Waleen James. Again, any questions? Nothing. Is anyone out there listening? Okay, so what I'll do is share some of the... Hello? Okay, I'll share some of the things that I have on the website. A good rule of, it says, vitamin C should be given while the doctor ponders the diagnosis. Dr. Klemper had mentioned that. So vitamin C is a wonderful, wonderful vitamin to take if you're not feeling well, and this is what the doctor had said. Vitamin C should be given while the doctor ponders the diagnosis. Another one, Dr. Jane Orient said, mandatory vaccine programs are a violation of the Nuremberg Code in that they force individuals to have medical treatment against their will or to participate in the functional equivalent of a vast experiment without fully informed consent. It's very important that you do get full as much information as you can. And if you sign that paper, giving up the right to what happens to your child once they're vaccinated, then make sure you understand what you're signing. Another beautiful quote is, truth wears no mask, seeks neither place nor applause, bows to no human shrine, she only seeks a hearing. So this is what a lot of people in the vaccine arena are saying. Let us just have the right to bring our information forth. There are many well-known figures that were against actually vaccine, and one of them was Susan B. Anthony. So she was against vaccines. Another one that did a lot of research on vaccines was George Bernard Shaw, and he also wrote plays against some of the problems that the vaccines had caused, or had plays written against vaccines, and in a way making fun of the medical profession. Another statement that I'd like to share with you is physicians as early as 1949 called attention to the low blood glucose in children who had severe reaction to the pertussis vaccine. And if you notice, with a lot of these vaccines, there's very little research that's being done when it comes to long-term side effects to the vaccines, and when you read some of the books, you'll realize that a lot of times what they do is they take the research and they only keep the things that look good for them, as opposed to something that might be detrimental to the vaccine issue. So they choose which studies should stay in or which people in the study should be in the program. I'm lost for words here. I don't know what to say. There's no one calling. Okay, maybe I'll share some more quotes with you from doctors. The death rate of measles is more than 20 times higher than before the vaccine was in widespread use. And this is from vaccines. Are they really safe and effective? Today, where far more children suffer from allergies and other chronic immune system disorders than from life-threatening infectious disease, it is neither reasonable nor prudent to persist in presuming that the benefits of any vaccination outweighs its risk. Another one, and this is from Ron Paul again, he said, when we give government the power to make medical decisions for us, we, in essence, accept that the state owns our bodies. And another one that I really love, again, of course I like these, that's why they're on my website, is Dr. J. Anthony Morris, who was the former chief vaccine officer of the FDA. And I believe he was... the FDA chief vaccine officer in 1950s, late 50s and 60s. And he said, there is a great deal of evidence to prove that immunization of children does more harm than good. There is no rationale for forcing immunization. And he also talked about the swine flu, where he said it was very dangerous and it shouldn't be given to the people. And right after that, they did ask him to leave, and he was fired. Dr. Koch, who was wrote The Survival of Neoplastic and Viral Diseases, said the incidence of polio increased 400% after the process of injection with serums, vaccines, and penicillin in 1950. So the incidence, again, of polio increased 400% after the process of injection with serums, vaccines, and penicillin in the 1950s. And yet, most people think that the vaccine has stopped the polio epidemic. And we know that what happened with the polio was that they changed names. They really never... decreased the number of polio patients. What they did was they changed the name of the polio. So we still have people that are paralytic, and they changed the disease. They also changed the time of evaluating. For example, in the beginning, if you went to the doctor and you felt soreness or weakness in your legs and arms, they immediately would say that you had polio, and you would be written down as a polio patient. And then after about a month, if you got better, which most people did, then you were fine. But on record, it showed that you had polio. Now, once the polio vaccine came in, what happened is they waited 30 days before they evaluated you and said that you had polio. So therefore, it looked like the polio epidemic went down, but in reality, it didn't. So by changing the name, by changing how they evaluated the polio, all that made a difference in statistics. What else can I share with you about vaccines? There is quite a bit, and I'm lost for words right now. The ingredients, the one thing, there are wonderful healers. It's quite fascinating. I had gone to a trial that I witnessed here in Rochester, New York, and the gentleman was accused, the father was accused of shaken baby syndrome. His daughter at that time was in a coma. And what happened was, while I was watching the trial, they were saying that he shook the baby, which he denied. She received, I believe, 8 vaccines in one day, and she was only about 3 or 4 months old. And so when the head of the pediatrics from one of the hospitals here at Strong was on stand, and they asked her, they said, do you know what are the ingredients in vaccines? He said, no, but I know the vaccines had nothing to do with it. And even though she didn't know the ingredients, she she felt that the vaccines couldn't have done that. And if you look at the ingredients of the vaccines that this young girl, Emily, received, it was like, I believe three of them had talked about convulsions. And this is exactly what happened to her. She went into a convulsion, and her brain started shaking, and they said that the father threw her across the room, which couldn't have happened because the child would have had a lot of bruises on the body and also broken bones or something. And none of that was on the baby. So here it was. She didn't know the ingredients, and yet she was able to say to everyone at the trial that the vaccines couldn't have done that. Absolutely not. It was the father that shook the baby. And yet what happened was that he was accused of shaking the baby, and he's serving time right now. And there are many parents that have been accused of shaking their baby and are in jail at this point, and yet there's no evidence that that's true, and they never look at the vaccine. So I had shared with that doctor after she got off the stand. I said, you know, it would be to your advantage to check to see how frequently it's after the vaccine that you have children come in with shaken baby syndrome, or you accuse parents of shaken baby syndrome. And it's the same thing with SIDS. It's usually within the first 12 days that the child has ends up either with shaken baby syndrome or SIDS. So it was fascinating to be in court and to watch the procedure, and for that doctor to say that, and for the lawyers not to jump on that and say, well, how could you possibly make that decision or make that statement if you don't know what's in the ingredients? It's like an herbalist giving you an herb and saying, a physician who's an herbalist giving you an herb and saying, this is, and if something happens to you, and he says, well, no, I have no idea what the components are or what the side effects or what it's supposed to do. Well, how could you possibly give us this if you don't know what the ingredients are and what are the possible side effects? And this was the head of pediatrics that said that. I don't know what are the ingredients of vaccines, and yet she would be giving those vaccines to our children and not know what's inside those vaccines, the ingredients, and not knowing what are the possible side effects. So if a child, if the pediatrician doesn't know that and the child comes in with a reaction to that vaccine, there is no way that they can put one and one together. And this is the state of affairs at the present time in our country. I remember before I read about vaccines, I was in the pediatrician's office, and I was there with my daughter, and there was a family, a father and a mother holding a baby and saying to the doctor, I don't understand. She won't stop crying. She won't stop crying. And he says, well, there's nothing wrong with her. I checked her over, and there's nothing wrong with her. Well, now I understand what was happening to that baby. At that time, I did know to ask the question, when was she vaccinated last? Because the vaccines create tremendous amount of vibration in the brain, and it's a neurological problem, and the child starts screaming and convulsing. And this is what happens to a lot of the children that end up with autism, or they die of SIDS, or as they say, the shaken baby syndrome. Okay, so there's a lot here that the doctors, really, the pediatrician should be aware of. And it's up to them. If they're willing to give those vaccines, then they should be aware of every ingredient in each vaccine and the possible side effects that could be created. There's ingredients like formaldehyde in the vaccines. There's, of course, dimerosal, which is mercury. There's aluminum. And it's true with a lot of the flu shots that you have mercury and aluminum in them. Phenol, which is a derivative from coal, tar, and it creates weakness, sweating, headaches, cardiac and kidney failure, and possible death. And that's one of the ingredients in the vaccines. So when you look at these ingredients, you wonder, how could you possibly say it's safe? MSG is in the vaccine. There's antibiotics, neomycin is in the vaccine, that goes directly into the blood of your children. So, yes?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Samantha, I came in late on the show.
Uh-huh.
And did you give your website?
Yes, I did. It's No Vaccines, K-N-O-W, vaccinesplural.com.
C-C-I.
K-N-O-W, vaccines.com.
Okay, that's K-N-O-W, vaccines.com.
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hello? Is there another call? Okay. Choice, which is the hard, another quote, and I'm not sure whether I read this. Wallene James said, choice, which is the heart of freedom, is wrapped in responsibility. Not to have the option of choosing is not to have the option of taking responsibility, which is in a very real sense depriving a person of the opportunity to mature. And that's not only true for vaccines, that's true for everything. Again, choice, which is the heart of freedom, is wrapped in responsibility. Not to have the option of choosing is not to have the option of taking responsibility, which in a very real sense deprives a person of the opportunity to mature. Anyone out there would like to ask a question at this point? There are so many different modalities of healing, as you probably know. My favorite one for me anyway is the homeopathic approach. The herbs, of course, are wonderful as well. There's energy work, as Steve Barish does on the show, and many different healers. And I've gone to healers where they were using energy work, and you can sense it. And another wonderful book that I have on the website is called Natural Healing, Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. And what I loved about that book, it tells you the history of medicine, more or less, and the natural healers. And it talks about all the beautiful healers, physicians in the past always took a lot of time diagnosing, talking to patients. They didn't just say, what is the symptom, and throw a pill at you. What they did was they took the time to speak to you, to get to know you, to get to know what's happening in the family at this point. And through observation and continued talking, they would recommend something. And Hippocrates used to say that the best thing you can do is to wait. The hardest part for a physician is to wait and to watch and see whether the assistance is needed. He says the greater healer, he said, is nature. And taking the time, doing a lot of, well, for me, it would be meditating as well, and getting in touch with your own being and finding out what is it that's creating imbalance in your life. And then, through that, you can heal yourself. And that doesn't mean that you don't go to a physician, that you don't go, you will know exactly what you need to do for yourself. And everyone has that knowing insight. They know whether they need to see someone. They might hear of a physician that's really wonderful and immediately know deep down inside that that's the right person for them. So it's very, very important to really be in contact with yourself and to pay attention to your inner guidance, because that's the one that tells you what is right for you. And everyone should have that right to be able to go to whoever they feel comfortable that would heal them. That was the other situation that we had with Alexis, where when she was diagnosed, I was doing a lot of research at that time with natural healings, and I wanted to take Alexis to someone. At that time, it was a Chinese herbalist. And the doctors at the hospital here said that if we did anything else, they would take her away from us. And because she was a minor, our hands were tight, and we weren't able. And you've heard of stories. There were a couple of children. There was a young girl in Texas where her parents wanted to go naturally and to heal her naturally after she did the radiation chemotherapy and it didn't work, and the state actually took the child away from the parents and did chemo. They administered chemotherapy to her. Another young man in Virginia Beach also, after he had the chemotherapy and was so sick, he wanted to try the natural approach. And he had to go to trial, and eventually he didn't win, and he was able, but he was almost, I think, 17 or 18 at that time. And but in our case, they did say that they would take her away from us. And as a parent, you can't imagine letting your child go and having them do all kinds of medical, procedures without you being there next to them. So we agreed on chemotherapy because there was a lot of fear here. And through the process of learning what I've been learning through the vaccine issue, and also Alexis was wonderful in putting me on a path where I'm learning to connect with myself and know the truth of what is happening here, or feel the truth as it happened. And a wonderful thing that happened, even though my father passed away just recently, but about 3 years ago, he was diagnosed, or the doctor said that he had lung cancer, and they wanted to do surgery. And at that time, I was listening to the surgeon, and I said, well, my father was in the war, and he has metal shrapnel around his lung. And he says, no, we know that that's not it. He said, we have to go in. He has cancer. Well, I looked at the surgeon. I said, you know, you're a surgeon. That's where you make the money. And he got angry at me. And at that point, I said to him, do you have another idea? What could we do? And he said, well, we can wait 3 months and see whether he goes. Well, we took x-rays 3 months later. Nothing happened. 6 months later, nothing happened. A year later, nothing happened. 3 years later, nothing happened. And had I not learned how to stay within myself and know what the truth is and to ask the right questions, my father would have had surgery 3 years ago on something that he didn't have to have. So it's amazing that the more you learn to connect and to be peaceful inside of you, how you can make the right decisions for yourself. Regardless of what they are, each individual is different, so they need to go with what is right for them and not to have to be bullied into doing something that they don't feel comfortable doing. And the way I handle it right now, if I'm uncomfortable with something, I sit back and wait and do some research and find out, is this the right thing for me, whether it's the vaccine issue or whether it's a medical issue of any kind. So taking the time and researching as much as you can before you decide to take either medication or any kind of a procedure. After all, this is your body. You have to live with the results, not the doctors. And you can't blame anyone if you make that decision, because the same way that I can't blame the doctors for the vaccines, because I didn't know any better. Even though I felt uncomfortable when my children were going in to get the vaccines, I didn't do the research. So the responsibility really is on my shoulders. That was my, I didn't feel right, and yet I did not look into it. The same way when Alexis was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. I remember getting up in the morning and getting this feeling that she has tuberculosis. So I asked the doctors to do a test on TB. And again, when you're frightened and you've been told that your child has cancer, and then they say you don't want her to go through any more testing and more problems and more suffering, so I didn't. Well, it turned out when we took her to another doctor, and he did, and he was an oncologist, and when he did the testing, he said she had TB. And the chemo was the worst thing that we could have given her for the TB. So each and every one of us knows our own body. We know the answers. We just have to stay still and be able to know what is right for us and to have the courage to investigate and to look into a lot of different modalities. There are many, many ways of healing. Many. And for some, the allopathic method is the right thing. And for some, it isn't. It depends on your constitution. But being able to be still and access what is needed for yourself is the key. So I am very grateful to my daughter for teaching me as much as she taught me and still continues to teach me. And again, Steve Barish will be back next week for the healing hour. And if there's anyone that would like to call in, you're welcome to. It's interesting. I'm reading about the CDC and the Drug Administration, FDA. It says how much there is conflict of interest, and this was in the paper, so it's not something that I'm making up, but they're saying about 60% of the FDA advisor members who voted to approve the vaccine had financial ties to the drug makers, to the pharmaceuticals. So when you have 60% of the FDA advisory members the vote on the vaccines, and they have ties to the pharmaceutical group that's making these vaccines, there's conflict of interest. Let's see, what else? Didn't realize an hour is such a long time. Again, I would invite you to come into or to look into our website, novaccines.com, to get more information. And the books that I had mentioned are wonderful. And as I said on the website, explore, question, research. It's very important, not only for our children and for ourselves as well. Ask questions. That is your right. Do the research and... let me give you some other websites that I feel are very important. It's called one of them is thinktwice.com, and they have wonderful information on vaccines. I would say that and RAN, www.ran.org is another one, and the Vaccination Risk Awareness Network. And the other one is... www.909shot.com, and that's the National Vaccine Information Center. So they are wonderful, wonderful websites to inform all of us about the vaccine. Another one, Dr. Clark, said cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with complex vaccines began to be introduced. I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. And this was stated by Dr. W.B. Clark. Cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with complex vaccines began to be introduced. I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. And then I mentioned that the number one killer disease of children in the U.S. is cancer. Dr. Mendelsohn made the following statement. Again, he was a pediatrician in the United States. Slow viruses found in all live vaccines, and particularly in the measles vaccine, hide in human tissue for years. They may emerge later in the form of encephalitis, multiple sclerosis, and as a potential seed for the development and growth of cancer. Another doctor, Dr. Archie Kilakirinos, and again, you'll find him on my website. In 1970, when the Australian government increased its vaccination program, there were as high as 50% deaths from the vaccine. Dr. Vera Scheibner, the author of Vaccination, the Medical Assault on the Immune System, she says, an extensive study of medical literature reveals that there is no evidence whatsoever of the ability of vaccines to prevent any disease. On the contrary, there's a great wealth of evidence, direct and indirect, that they cause serious side effects. And these are all written by physicians. The quotes that I have are all from physicians. And from the World Health Organization, WHO, they said contagious diseases decline 90% before the use of mass vaccination and antibiotics. Statistics show that the best vaccine against common infection disease is an adequate diet, all right, and clean water. That's why a lot of these diseases decline, because of better diet and clean water. So, once again, I'm sitting in for Steve Barish, who will be back next week. And the topic today, or this evening, was vaccines and how to do more research and protect your child from vaccines that could possibly be dangerous. It wasn't the case with us. I have found out that the vaccines for our children created problems for their bodies. Let's see, and again, I invite you to go into my website called No Vaccines, K-N-O-W, vaccines.com, and to continue doing more research and to protect your child. I feel very strongly that the vaccines had an impact on our children, and it also had an impact on me. And so I would recommend strongly for you to do as much research as you can on the issue of vaccines. Mm-hmm. Again, any questions? I'll leave you with this quote, and it says, never take anything for granted, nor receive anything in any science until you have investigated it for yourself. And that's by Dr. Hahnemann, the father of homeopathy. So until you investigate it for yourself, don't take anything. Unless you feel, you will know. The feeling will be there as to whether it's right, and then you investigate it on your own. And it doesn't matter who says it. If it doesn't feel right for you, then do the research. I wish I had done that. It would have made a big difference for my family. Again, this is Sam Spaker, Savasti Sam Spaker, and I'm in for Steve Barish, who's away right now, and he will be back next week for the Healing Hour. And the talk this evening was vaccination. And as I said, because of my own experience, I would not advocate vaccines. I would advocate research. And really talking to the physician before you vaccinate your child, and do as much research and